Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know about you folks, but never in my wildest dreams did I ever believe that I would be talking about regulatory provisions of kitchen appliances. Now, I know that they go through a certain amount of this, but never did I think that it was going to be to the point or extent that it was going to end up costing me more money, that the change in the look of appliances would change, the way they operate would change. I don't know about you. I have been very comfortable with my appliances working just the way that they work. I like them that way, and I don't want them to change. But that doesn't seem to be the position taken by the Department of Energy and the federal government. And here to talk to us about it is Ben Lieberman, senior fellow who specializes in environmental policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Ben, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Ben, you write an article and you point out a whole host of kitchen appliances that we saw proposed and finalized DOE efficiency regulations passed in the last year. If you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, let them know how far this goes.
Well, unfortunately, it's not just kitchen appliances. It's just anything around the house. It's easier to list the appliances that aren't subject to bad regulations. Televisions are off the hook, so let's be grateful for that. But other than that, refrigerators, air conditioners, ceiling fans, furnaces, water heaters, dishwashers, clothes washers, and dryers. I'm certainly leaving a few out, but just about anything that plugs in or fires up around the home is subject to a regulation, many of which are likely to cause more costs than they reduce, and others are going to reduce product performance and features.
Yeah, so to what end? What are we trying to accomplish here?
Well, a lot of the bad stuff going on these days in Washington is due to climate change considerations. And the argument is that if we force these appliances to use less energy, then there'll be less greenhouse gas emissions. The problem is that these appliances, many of them, have already been subjected to so many rounds of standards. We're at the point where you're likely to do more harm than good. And we see that these standards can boost upfront costs more than you're likely to earn back in the form of energy savings. And some of them have already caused appliance performance to go downhill. For example, if you're wondering why your dishwasher now takes 2 or more hours to do a load of dishes, where if you had one 10 or 20 years ago, it only took an hour, that's largely due to these regulations. So they're harming consumers, but right now, it seems like climate change considerations come first.
Yeah, I think I remember this first, recognizing these challenges when they changed the way that your toilet flushes, right, with the amount of water that you can use. I mean, not to get down in the dirt, but I mean, you ended up flushing the toilet 2-3 times as opposed to just once.
Yeah, that was back in the late 1990s, and I guess because they got away with that one, they couldn't help themselves. So it's not just energy using home appliances; it's also water using appliances. There's restrictions on showers. There's restrictions on sinks, and those toilet provisions are still around.
So there's a move afoot in Congress to try and squelch or push back on a number of these things. And I guess Congress folks are hearing from citizens that are saying, look, and enough is enough. I mean, you know, we have price challenges already just because of the economy in general. We don't need to overregulate this stuff to where we can't even afford to have an appliance any longer.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the backlash really started last year when the public got wind of potential restrictions on gas stoves. And there was a real angry response to that. And the Biden administration, at least they said they were backing off, but in that's not really what has happened. And so now there was a bill last week. It passed in the House of Representatives to dial back a lot of this regulatory authority. Not a perfect bill, doesn't repeal the program, which I think is what the real answer it is, but it raises the bar on any additional standards. So it is a step in the right direction.
So when we say it raises the bar, what does that mean? Is there some standard before they can play around or tweak with these regulations?
Yeah, the Department of Energy has to demonstrate that certain things are met, certain requirements are met, before it can move ahead with an efficiency standard. This bill would add to those provisions. One thing that sounds like a no-brainer is the bill makes clear that these standards have to save more money than they cost. Now, you'd be amazed to think that that even needs to be said, but that actually does need to be said. So it's a good thing that it's in the law, because some of these regulations really boost the upfront cost of regulation so much so that the savings will never make up for that. So it's good that that's in there. The problem with the bill is that it's still the judgment call of the Department of Energy, the very bureaucrats who love these regulations, to say that it's met all these requirements, and they'll just fudge the analysis, or at least that's my concern. That's why I'd like to see them end this program. There's no reason to have Washington meddling in our kitchens and in our homes in this way.
And we already have that example, as you point out in your article, relative to dishwasher requirements, right? And they've done the time studies and everything else on that, and how long the cycles are now, where in order to get to the cleanliness level that everyone desires, they're running these machines more, not less.
Oh, absolutely. I wish that efficiency with regard to people's time mattered as much as energy efficiency, but the dishwashers are taking longer. Sometimes you have to run things twice. Sometimes you have to hand wash dishes before or after because it doesn't do the job as well as it used to. The same is true for clothes washers. So performance is going downhill. And these used to be called conveniences, modern conveniences. But because of these regulations, they're not quite as convenient as they used to be.
Ben, have we figured out what percentage of the price of appliance is now associated with these regulations and this bureaucratic overreach?
It's hard to tease out one specific thing. Keep in mind, for example, some of these appliances are the subject of multiple regulations, so it's hard to know what the cost of any one of them does. But one good example, or a bad example from a consumer standpoint, is an efficiency standard for central air conditioners that took effect last year, and that immediately boosted the cost of a new air conditioning system by $1,000 or more, and that's directly a result of the regulation. So there are some examples where the cost increase is so bad that it's hard to ignore that it's due to a particular regulation. But usually it gets lost in the noise, which can be a problem.
And we've been through that with AC, central AC units and window units before with the refrigerant, right? I mean, what are we on, iteration 3 or 4 now? I mean, I remember it used to be, 12 or whatever they referred to the Freon, and now it's something else, and every time it changes it's more costly, and then you have to pay to get rid of the other Freon that you were using.
Exactly. The substitutes for Freon are now being targeted as contributors to climate change. And so now they're on to the next generation of refrigerants, many of which are proprietary patented refrigerants from the companies that lobbied for these environmental measures, and they cost more. So air conditioning is definitely going up in price as a result of regulations. And it's not just the equipment, as you mentioned, it's also that the refrigerants are never quite green enough. So we keep getting new rounds of regulations every decade or so.
One of the interesting things as well is the time period in which they give you to do the conversion, right? Do you find that those are getting shorter?
I mean, if you're talking about the amount of time to transition to the next generation of technology, you get stuck with the old generation and you end up not having the refrigerant or maybe even the parts to fix it. And so you can have a very expensive problem of premature obsolescence, which is a very big issue right now. I mean, you may not want to buy a new air conditioner because it's so expensive, but when the repairman tells you how much it's going to cost to fix the existing one, you realize that there's really no escaping these costly regulations.
And the way that these regulations come about, I think one of the things that frustrates consumers is they feel like we don't really have this open, transparent, robust debate conversation about these things. Is that fair to say?
Oh, it's very fair. For almost all of these, people find out the hard way what their own government has done to them. It's a big frustration among a lot of homeowners. They get rid of an old appliance, maybe an old dishwasher, and they quite logically expect the new one to be an improvement. And then it turns out the opposite, and they regret having gotten rid of the old one because they didn't like the color or whatnot, but it worked better. So, there's a tremendous amount of frustration on the part of the public and a big disconnect between what's going on in Washington, D.C., and what the public knows about and would actually support if they did know about it.
I want to go back to natural gas for a moment. They haven't given up on that, have they?
No, there's a big push to try to steer people away from natural gas appliances towards the electric versions, again, for environmental reasons. But I would add, none of this stuff makes economic sense. It also doesn't even make a lot of environmental sense either. But in the case of natural gas, we're talking about an energy source that's three times cheaper than electricity on a per unit energy basis. So it would be good for consumers to have gas stoves, gas furnaces, gas water heaters still available, but there is a big push for so-called electrification on the part of the Biden administration, this effort to try to steer everything towards electricity only for homes.
But isn't that interesting, though, when you think about the issues that we have with our electrical power grid across this country of being less than, that we would put, like, is this not the cart before the horse?
If you're accusing these folks of not thinking this through, I would absolutely agree. And we're seeing exactly the same thing with this push towards moving away from gasoline vehicles to electric vehicles. If you do that, at the same time you're pushing people away from gas heat, gas water heat, gas stove towards electric appliances, we're increasing the demand for electricity. Where's this all going to come from? Because at the same time we're increasing the demand for electricity, we're cutting back on the supply by essentially making coal-fired generation illegal and even making natural gas-fired generation very, very difficult, and pushing wind and solar, which have some very serious problems with intermittency. So we're the day of reckoning is coming. I hope we can steer policy in a better direction before we get there. But if not, the day of more frequent blackouts of almost, you'd hear the third world stories about electricity available only some of the time. I hope we're not getting there, but I fear that we might be.
Well, one thing you know for certain, you've been around there a long time, the bureaucracy doesn't give up easily, do they?
I run into traffic getting into work here in Washington, D.C., and that traffic is a lot of bureaucrats who make a nice living doing this stuff. So there's plenty of them, and it's never in a regulator's interest to say we've already regulated enough. That's career suicide, so they'll never say it, even if it's true. So over-regulation is almost always what we're going to get unless we can stop this.
It'll be interesting. I mean, hopefully this has some kind of chilling effect on this where they take into a lot of the considerations that you just articulated that make perfect sense to me. But I think I like you, am a little bit skeptical as to whether or not that's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, they're also going after light bulbs yet again. The incandescent bulb is gone, but now the new LED bulbs are subject to some tough regulations. So one bit of advice is keep those candles on hand.
I mean, I thought LED was the way to go. I mean, they were advocating that for the last 2 years.
The environmentalists are great at moving back the goalposts. Nothing's ever permanently satisfactory to them.
Is there a new technology out there that I'm not aware of that's going to be better that they're talking about, or what?
I think it's still LEDs, but the new standard is so tough that most LEDs now on the market won't meet that standard.
Well, okay. Here we go. We're getting very circular yet again on this whole topic for sure. Ben Lieberman, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time and your insight. Keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you.
That's Ben Lieberman, senior fellow who specializes in environmental policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.